So, same question for you all that I asked the kids. How good are you all at remembering things? We got some so-sos as well. Yeah, not as good as we used to be. I think somebody told me that. I would agree that I am okay at remembering things. Not amazing, not terrible. So, for example, when I said this week that I'd asked some people, I'd asked my sister how she remembered things, I called her specifically to ask her how she remembered things, to put it in the children's message. And then we got to talking, and we were on a walk and all these things, and I hung up, and I realized I hadn't asked her. I forgot to ask her about how she remembered things. Amazing. So I had to call her right back, and she was like, "Are we all okay?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes." So I can't remember that sort of thing, but I'm one of those people that has a weird memory for song lyrics. So I can still sing a song from my kindergarten play. I will sing it for you if you all want, but we may not need it. It was Little Red Hen. So, like, I don't need that anymore, right? Like, that's not a thing that needs room in my brain. Remembering why I was calling my sister is more important, and yet I have all of this wealth of useless knowledge now. And I assume that I'm not alone in that sort of thing. There's some things that we remember that are not as important, and some things that we kind of wish we remembered, but keeps going away. And one of those important things for me that are tricky, and I'm assuming for a lot of us, are the spiritual things, remembering our own God moments and our own God stories. If you ask me with no preparation time, tell me a God moment where you saw God, I'd be like, I know I have, but like, I have to think about it. It's hard to remember. And you wish it wasn't. Even though I know God has met me, and I noticed at the time, remembering it longer than a few minutes can be hard. So if you've been joining us, we've been talking about God moments and God stories for a while, but it is always good to be reminded as we are talking about our memories today. As Christians, we believe that God is with us and interacts with us every day. And sometimes there are these little, subtle, beautiful moments that remind us that God is with us and God loves us. Things like a beautiful view, a song that hits in a powerful way, an encouraging word from a friend or a stranger. And these I've been calling God moments. A little moment in your day that you're like, oh, God is with me. I saw it. I remembered. I noticed. Kind of a done and done moment. And then there are the God stories. These are our longer, more intense versions of this, where God steps in and invites you to something. And they could be things like, leave everything and follow me. Or keep trusting me even when it's hard. Or something a little smaller, like go reach out to this person. God is always inviting us to do something. And when we find ourselves in that kind of a moment, those are God's stories. And sometimes, like we talked about last week, we're in the middle of a God story. Following God, where God is inviting us, but not sure how it's going to turn out. Or even, what is happening? And these are hard, some of the most difficult moments that Christians will find themselves in during their walks of faith. So we as Christians do believe that God interacts with us every day, but many of us do not actually notice, or if we notice, we don't remember, because both noticing and remembering take work. To help you notice, the best ways is to really just practice, to pay attention, and to practice reflecting. And there are steps there that could help you with this. You could see a spiritual director. You could journal a lot. You could do some practices like the prayer of examine, where you reflect on your night at the end of the day to being like, oh, I did see God here. You can work on scripture not just giving you knowledge here, but being like, oh, right, I see God in this. Those are all ways to start helping you notice. But this is the work of your entire Christian life as well. So if you feel like you're not there yet, don't worry. We all still have time. The other most tricky part of the God stories and God moments is remembering them afterwards. And you'd think that would be the simple part. And maybe you're one of those people with an astounding memory, and so it is for you. But meanwhile, I need help remembering the ways that the God of the universe has met me, which is somewhat embarrassing, right? Because if, like, a really famous person came to your house, you would probably remember that the next day. But with God, we somehow miss it. And I don't think I'm alone in this, in having the short memory for spiritual things, because God actually seems to know this, understands this, and puts things to help us remember into how we worship. How cool is that? That God actually knows this about us and applies this to us. So one tool for remembering is to write it down, which, as I said, is a personal favorite with my sticky notes. I don't write it down. I'm actually not a journaler. I'm way more of a, like, jot it down, put a note. Nobody else can read it because my handwriting is bad, but it's there for me. And scripture is this kind of writing it down. It's a written record of what God has done, how God has met God's people over generations. It's full of God stories. And we as humans would be much more likely to forget what had happened if we didn't have a physical written record of it. Which is why I started with the Gospel of Luke introduction. We don't read the introductions much or the conclusions of letters because they're a little more technical and always not very interesting. But let's look again at the opening to Luke. This is in the Common English Bible, so a different translation than what was read before. Many people have applied themselves to the task of compiling an account of the events that have been used, that have been fulfilled among us. They used what the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed down to us. Now, after having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, I have also decided to write a carefully ordered account for you, most honorable Theophilus. I want you to have confidence in the soundness of the instruction you have received. Luke wrote the gospel text and worked on writing it down so we would have a careful, ordered, correct account of what happened based off eyewitness accounts, and so that we can remain confident in the story we receive, and so that it remains ordered and carefully investigated. Luke writes it down so we can remember it, and we can pass it off to other people who can then also remember it. It's a nice way to remember and to share. Having a written record, a written reminder of what happens, is an incredibly useful tool for remembering what God has done. Have you had a God story or a God moment and considered writing them down? If you are a journaler, those are the kind of things that are excellent to put down, because otherwise we can easily forget them. Or how God met someone you care about. It doesn't always have to be someone for you, but sometimes somebody else's story is really impactful and you want to write that down too. And it can be a sticky note. It can be a note on your phone if you're really techie. It can be margins in your Bible. It could be like an actual book if you want to be really eloquent. There's a lot of ways to write it down. But it's important towards helping us remember and share our God moments and our God stories. But thankfully, that is not the only step for remembering outlined in Scripture, which is good because not everyone remembers the same way. And throughout history, not everyone could read and write. So there had to be a lot of ways to remember. And there is a long history in Judaism and Christianity on memorization and meditating. We're not great at memorization anymore. It is still important. I can't say I'm great at it, but my mom is good at it, and I'm always impressed. There's a lot of types of meditation. So that's sitting kind of with scripture and text. In Christian circles, one of the best ways to do it is just to sit with a text, to read a portion of scripture and be like, what does this remind me of? What connections am I making? Does this remind me of anything in my own life? What is God inviting me to? And to sit with those texts to help us connect with God. And that is what Paul talks about in the Philippians text we read today. From Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I've always appreciated this, that while we focus on Scripture, Paul doesn't dictate that it has to be Scripture. It can be anything that points us to God, things that are noble or right or true or lovely or praiseworthy. What you think about, what you see, what's around you all the time, you'll start to emulate it. You'll start to kind of be who you become. So pick good things to meditate on. But you've seen this even in non-spiritual settings. So my sister married into a family that liked to scuba dive. We have never done that. We were not a scuba diving family. We were a hiking family. She married into a family that liked to scuba dive, and she was inspired, and they were going to go on vacation and, like, pay for everything. So she was like, I should learn how to do this. And so she learned how, and she really likes it now. Right? What you're around is what's going to start to inspire you. And on the flip side, my brother loves the Seattle Mariners. He's been very sad this week. And my sister-in-law, his wife, is from Arizona and doesn't care about the Mariners or baseball. And now she knows way more than she ever wanted to know because she's married to my brother and they share interests. So she knows things. She had to go to one of those games that went to like 18 innings and she was so unhappy. But she did it and she knows things about the Mariners now because that's what's around her. What you think about, what you spend time with, what you meditate on, starts to become who you are. And that can be Scripture and that can be God. And it is a really good thing if it is your God moments and your God stories, the way God has met you. Those are pure and right and noble and lovely things worth spending time on. And if you've never sat with Scripture and just seen where it was going or seen where God may be with you, I encourage you to try it. Take one of the texts from today or from next week that are in the bulletin and just see where the invitation is. It can be a powerful way to connect with God and the more we do it, the easier it will be to remember, to retrieve, to see where God is in our daily lives. But my favorite way, as was recorded in Scripture, is tactile. It's to make things. We are tactile people. We love our symbols and our images. And God knows this. And God has us make images that are not God, but that remind us of God. There's that distinction. These items are not God, but they remind us of who God is. They point us in God's direction. And that is what's happening in the story that Steve read for us from the Old Testament this morning in the beginning of the book of Joshua. So this is the very end of the wilderness wanderings. Moses has died. Joshua is the leader now. The Israelites are finally entering the promised land, but they have to ford the Jordan River first. And this is one of those books in the Old Testament, like this section where it's just like a lot of names and places and details that they say over and over again. And you're like, that's great. This is actually a very cool story if you can get past how it is recorded. So the Jordan River. If you live in Oregon, I assume some of you at least have learned about the Oregon Trail and about having to go over rivers with your wagon and your stuff. Right, if you've played the Oregon Trail game, you have to ford the river, you and all your stuff and your food, and you hope it doesn't tip over. And it was always stressful to do. So there's an additional piece to this fording of the Jordan River, because the Jordan River, if you go there, it's not the Mississippi. It's not as wide as we thought it was. But this river is flooding. Did you catch that? Verse 15, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So this is a river at flood stage. This is the Mississippi River at flood stage near Memphis. I don't know where the river actually is because that river valley is full of water. And I know you guys have been near rivers when they flooded or at least gotten close to flood stage. And those are dangerous rivers, right? They're full of trees that aren't normally there. They're full of, you can't see the bottom because it's all muddy. The currents are really fast. As someone who knows a little bit about water rescues, this type of water rescue is for specialty trained people that fly in around the country. Floodwaters are dangerous. The water safety person in me is like, this is a terrible plan. This is not the time to ford the river with the entire community and all of their stuff. You should wait till August when it's all dried up. But the Israelites have just left the wilderness. They have seen God provide for them. There have been God stories and God moments over and over again. And God is inviting them to trust and to walk into this river. And so they do. They walk in, the priests hold the ark, and the river dries up miraculously. And the entire population is able to cross the flooded floodplain safely to the other side. God does this miraculous God story. He invites them to trust and to walk into the river, and they do. And God stops the waters, and it's supposed to remind us of the Red Sea and all of these other places that God has acted in these powerful ways. And the story doesn't end here. God knows that God's people have short memories, so God commands them to pick up 12 big rocks, one for each of the 12 tribes, and to make a giant pile with them where they are camping. And what is the point of this rock pile, this cairn? It's quite literally so that when a little kid is like, why is there a big pile of rocks here? Why are these here? That you'll be like, oh, these are here to remind us, right? Then you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. Why are these rocks here? Oh yeah, God stopped the waters. So you teach your kid, so there's this story about this time where God stopped the waters and God provided this miraculous thing for us. And, oh right, God stopped the waters and walked through and provided for me in that way. I can also trust that God will do it again. What's this giant pile of rocks mean? Oh yeah, that's what it means. Thank you for reminding me again that you did provide for me once. Maybe you will again. And these kinds of physical, tangible reminders are so helpful, especially if you're in that part of your story where you're in the middle of a God story. Like last week, we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the middle of their story. And if you have a reminder that God did provide for you, that God did answer your prayer, that God was with you, and then you'd be like, okay, maybe God will be with me again. Maybe God will answer this prayer this time like he did last time. Reminders like this of a personal God story that you have experienced and were part of can be the encouragement you need to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep following, to keep the faith, even when it's hard. Now, I've connected to the story for years, and I love rocks anyway, so I moved with ridiculous amounts of rocks across the country. But some of them are connected to God stories and God moments, and I don't want to leave those behind because I need the reminder. So it's worth it to have the moving box full of rocks because I have used them to remind me of where God is. And Valley Covenant Church has used this story before. This is one I learned from Stan. Lynn pointed it out to me, and then Stan filled it out for me. This is our sign out front. And when it was built, those rocks are from the Willamette, right? Is Stan in here to affirm that? Yes, okay, yes, they are from the Willamette River. And they brought them in and had people write on them ways God had answered prayers. And so then when the rocks were out front and you drive by it, you'll be like, hey, God answered my prayer for this. Or God answered their prayer for this. Maybe God will answer my prayers too. So that, and now you all know, every time you see it out front, look at the prayers God has answered, the reminder that God does answer and hopefully will answer our prayers now. You may also notice that there are rocks around the sanctuary. I want to thank Janet for making it look nice and not just like a pile of rocks around the sanctuary, which would have been what happened if I was in charge of said rocks. But we're going to do kind of a group project. You're invited to do it. You can always say no. God never forces us to do anything. And heavens, I will not force you to do it. But it is for us. So here's how it would work. There are three stations of rocks, one, two, and then one in the back over here. And there are rocks we've collected, and there are Sharpies, and to write a God moment or a God story on the rock. Now, it doesn't have to be the whole story. It's for you. Just has to be enough that you know what it's talking about. And then once you have finished writing, we will take them and put them here into a giant pile, a cairn. A cairn is the hiking term for that pile of rocks that you use when you're trying to navigate, right? And the rangers are always like, don't just make them randomly. They're here for a point. They tell us where the trail is. We're gonna make our pile of rocks here. So that's why you can be as personal or not as you would like, because they will be in public for now. But they're for us to remember. Look at the God stories. Look at the God moments, the ways God has met us today, this week, this month, this year. And we're going to move them into the narthex. So then when people come and they're like, why do we have a giant pile of rocks in the narthex? I'm like, oh, look at the ways that God has met us. Now, if you are like me and you feel like I don't remember a thing at all that God has done in my life right now and I am drawing a complete blank, that is okay. We're going to take a little bit of time to do this. And they're not going away. You can do them next week. You could take it home and do it on Wednesday and bring it back. God is not limited to right now. We are limited in our time, but God is not. So we're going to play a little bit of music. As you feel led, as you feel invited, come forward, write on your rock, write on two rocks, write on four rocks, and make a pile up here for them. So I will pray, and then we will start. Jesus, thank you for inviting us to all kinds of things. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for knowing that we need your help to remember things. Remind us now of ways you have met us.